Well, Cindy, thank you for having the courage to read those words that are difficult to hear. We're in the next to the last week of a series of sermons on the theme of Epiphany through the lens of her story, and rather than, I suppose, history or his story, meaning we're focusing on women in the course of this Epiphany. And today, as you kind of gathered, the woman in the scripture is a metaphor for the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem has been destroyed. The temple, the focus of the faith, has been destroyed, and a good chunk of its citizenry has been taken into exile to Babylon. And then there, at that point, they will begin to ask new questions about their faith and begin to ask new questions about their God and their relationship to God. And so it's there that we look today. And I want you to consider, this is kind of an unusual sermon. It's going to be relatively brief, but I want you to consider it as being maybe, in a sense, expanding your spiritual repertoire, understanding your faith for a time in your life that you may never really need, or at least not very much. But in those moments when we do, and we do experience that need, I pray that you might know that that God is there, even as the city of Jerusalem is experienced, even in the very worst and most difficult of times. Let's pray. Spirit of God, it is hard to hear these words expressed in the face of such loss and death and devastation. And yet, O God, those words are offered to you, the pain and the anger and the wondering are still offered to you for response, for connection, for relationship, for even revelation. Amen. Well, the church council met at its usual time, and the lay leader had the devotions that evening, and she began with the scripture that says these words: "How lonely sits the city that was once full of people. How like a widow she has become, she that was great among the nations." Those are the very words that Cindy offered today from the Book of Lamentations. And the lay leader continued in those first verses of the first chapter. And it might have seemed like an odd start that evening to devotions for a church council, but that meeting was only a couple days after September 11th. And you can understand, I suspect, the feelings in that room and the reasons now for those particular words, how odd it felt to be at a council meeting, or what some might call an administrative board, or here we call a leadership board meeting, shortly after, just a couple days after September 11th. It was impossible to act as though everything was normal, as you all remember from that day and that week itself. It was kind of jarring almost to think about planning for Advent and for Christmas and to talk about Sunday school when so many things and so much a part of our lives were still up in the air. People who were caught in airports they never expected to be caught in places where they never expected to be after watching those planes hit the World Trade Center. Lamentation, lament, was the only proper thing to feel that day and that week and those days afterwards. And I have to tell you, I was familiar with the idea of lamentations only really in theory at that point. I understood about the people of Jerusalem and how they were taken into exile and how that transformed their faith. I heard about Pearl Harbor. My parents told me about the Depression and what it was like to live through that. But that was all in theory for me. And even, I suppose, September 11th was, for me personally, relatively distant compared to those who had to actually lose someone in that experience. And then I heard those words from Lamentations in that devotion at the church council meeting a couple days afterwards. And I heard in that book, in that devotion, not just the words of the sorrow or the grief of one individual, but I heard the sorrow of a whole people, a nation. Some things happen not just to me, and not just to you, but some things happen to us as a nation or as a community, even sometimes as a world. You'll remember how the French said, "We are all New Yorkers now," after September 11th. It's hard to imagine that devastation when the center of their life, when the temple was destroyed in the city of Jerusalem as it fell to the Babylonian Empire, and it was a miserable loss. The Babylonians were particularly cruel. It wasn't just a matter of destruction and death, but they waited things out. They starved people out. They took off the water supplies. They cut the trade routes so food could not get into the walled city. It was a longer siege. There was tremendous loss. Without Jerusalem, without Judah, who are the people? Reading about it, about the violence, and the siege, and the starvation, and the collapse of the city walls eventually calls to my mind something I remember visiting the city of St. Petersburg, or used to be known during the Soviet days as Leningrad. And I mentioned that partly, if you can get that up there, Tressie, I can't help but think of Bill Hofeld, because Bill would compare me in my appearance to Dmitri Shostakovich. As a matter of fact, you know, the wall with the pastors down there in the stairwell, he taped a picture of Dmitri Shostakovich to the wall there, where because they were waiting for my picture to be made and airbrushed as much as possible. Took a lot of airbrushes. But Dmitri Shostakovich wrote a symphony that was offered during war, during the very moment that the city of Leningrad, now St. Petersburg, was being shelled by the Germans during World War II. Matter of fact, this picture, if you look closely, you'll see on both columns and in the wall of the cathedral itself, pockmarks left from the Germans there as they unsuccessfully sieged the city. It is, to this day, the longest, most bloody siege of warfare. 900 days, it's going on 3 years, 800,000 civilian deaths. A lot. And that those little marks in the columns at St. Isaac's Cathedral remind me, and I'm sure much more so to their Russian counterparts, the loss that they experienced, not just the army, but especially the civilians there. So as I said, why speak of this today? I mean, why? It's such a Debbie Downer, isn't it, to talk about this? And yet, if nothing else, there is a sense of beauty in that metaphor of Jerusalem as a widow who has lost so much. And there's that chance of each of us in our own way of being spiritually prepared for those moments in our life and in the moments of a community, a nation, that will have inevitably difficult times, just because that, and I'm not making any predictions, but that is just simply what happens in life sometimes, devastating things. So who are we? And who is God for us? Those are some of those foundational questions that are asked in moments like this, in the moments of the devastation in 587 BC in the city of Jerusalem. The people of Jerusalem give voice to their sorrows, to their anger, to their fear. And for a moment after September 11th, it seemed as though we were allowing it as well. And I was convinced that after September 11th, somehow that was going to change us as a people and as a nation. But in the long run, I guess I was wrong. I don't think that happened. But I keep on thinking about Jeremiah, who is attributed to offering these lamentations, and how during the course of most of his career as a prophet, he offered some pretty darn harsh words to the people of Israel. Unrelenting. He despised the day he was born, he said, because he hated offering these words to his own people. So it is a kind of a surprise to hear these words that Cindy offered to us from the book of Lamentations, traditionally ascribed to Jeremiah, and to hear the sorrow, and to hear the loss and the love that this person has for the people. I mean, he could have said, "I told you so," right? But it wasn't that. It was real love and pastoral concern for those people. Judgment is put aside. That's not important right now in the for the people of Jerusalem and for those who are left there. There is now another truth that's told, a truth that includes both horror and love. The truth is, Jeremiah loves the city of Jerusalem and loves the people of Jerusalem. And as I said, that's kind of hard to believe. My friends, sometimes it's easy to have knee-jerk reactions to things that we see about or we read about in the news. But those moments of real lament, of real sense of loss that we offer to God in our lives. Those are the kind of responses that lets us and gives us the chance of being able to name that grief that we have. It gives us a chance to offer that real grief to God. And it gives us a chance, a moment, a kind of a space to hear those stories that are true. Even if we don't want to hear those stories sometimes, just as uncomfortable as it was to hear some of these words from Lamentation. To lament something is to be able to name that devastation that one or a nation or a city has experienced. It was a chance to be able to hear some stories, a chance to be able to talk back, to be in conversation with God, and then to lay it all out in honesty with all of our anger and feelings before God. And if you wonder about that, just read most of the Psalms. Somewhere and tucked in most of those Psalms, there's still some of that anger and upset that is honest in inside of each one of us. My friends, I want us to be able to offer praise to God even today, even with this message that I offer you. Praise God for a God who is able to receive our anger and our fists up in the air and to love us all the same. Just as Jeremiah, in spite of all of his judgments, really, when it came right down to it, loved the people. God is the same way. So be honest in your relationship and honest in your connection with God. So may it be. Amen. We're going to invite our ushers to come forward.